Oh, lovely, lovely, lovely. That brings back memories. This old boy, anyway. On the show tonight, we welcome back It's Playing Again. Oh, this is good. It's Playing Again. Do you want to hear it again? You can't hear it.
Having a John Peel moment.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, sorry, that's so exciting. Yeah, it brings back memories for me. Right, on the show we welcome the composer of that song, singer-songwriter. Indeed, he's been on the show before, Mr. Asa Jennings. Hello, Ace.
Hiya, you all
right? Hi. And we'll obviously be talking to Ace a little bit about the song, and we welcome the always eloquent Mr. Jeremy Lieben.
Evening.
And Phil. Right,
hello.
email us studio@icrfm.co.uk or text us on 0779780712. Do you want to get the business of football out of the way before we talk music?
No, I'll talk about your weekend.
My weekend,
yes, volcanic ash,
yes,
man.
The heavenly blast of God stopped me coming here. I wasn't here until Monday. I should have been here on Friday, so thank you, God. I can't claim because it's an act of God. Someone needs to take on the insurance company and say, well, prove it's an act of God, didn't they? Really? Do you not think so?
What do you mean, some sort of heretic?
Some nutter like me. I'd love to do it, but I wish I had the legal mess.
It's an act of God.
Yeah, I'd like to be able to do it.
You missed the weekend then?
I actually missed. Thankfully, it was. It doesn't sound an awe-inspiring
you
game.
You missed an awful
I actually
lot,
missed the game. I always plan my holidays to come back for football. I don't want to miss the football, and managed to do it. But it sounds like it wasn't too bad a thing to do.
So, can you sue the Icelandic government for the sort of 1/23rd of your season ticket?
Well, not if it's an act of God. You see,
failing to stop their volcano
until I can prove it wasn't an act of God. This is the problem we're up against.
Oh, I see. You need to put together some sort of legal case where you prove that there is
no
lack
God.
Of existence of God.
Yeah.
Well, if there's any lawyers out there willing to take
Absolutely.
That case.
I'm surprised no one's thought about it, anyway.
So there's football. Mm. It was, that sort of conversation really is probably more exciting than a football on Saturday, wasn't it?
I'd agree, yeah.
Enjoy the show. Until next week.
Phil, you summed it up perfectly with your Monday column in the Star with the anyone for Game of Kaplunk, because that would have been more exciting, definitely, I think. But it was just sort of one of those sort of games, both sides safe, but also not going to get in the playoffs, so not too much to play for other than just kind of sort of seeing out the throes of the season. But just didn't have much incident. Having gone a goal ahead, disappointing to have drawn, because sort of not a late goal but a goal in the last 20 minutes, you think, yeah, we'll try and sort of hold this out, because it wasn't a game of, there weren't many chances before that really in the game anyway, so it was solid-ish, but there we go, that was it really. So
do you not think there was a bit of a strange atmosphere as well first half? It was like there were all these conversations going on around us, which was slightly different. You normally get a few people chatting, but it just seems to be everybody was having their own conversation and nobody was watching the football.
I thought it was a bit like sort of post-season friendly.
Good phrase for it.
Neither side seemed massively up for it. I mean, they passed the ball around.
I was going to say that they did actually look to be quite an all right passing side, actually, I thought, without sort of overly threatening.
So they looked actually very much like Swansea, that they passed the ball around a lot without looking massively threatening, I thought. And we came to play a similar sort of containing game against them as we did at Swansea, although perhaps slightly less negative than we were at Swansea. I suppose in the end a draw was probably a fair result, wasn't
it? Yeah, I would say so.
I thought second half we probably shaded it, didn't we?
Yeah, I guess so. I think it was, with the end of season games, normally there's a lot of pressure off players to, go out there and perform, whereas this just seemed to be, both teams seemed to be happy for a point. It was like one of those games where both teams go up if you draw, and nobody bothered to make the effort to do anything spectacular. It just seemed everybody, like I say, lots of nice little neat passes, nobody with any sort of penetration or wanting to, to do anything. I can't remember too many shots, to be honest. I know they had a couple from about 30 or 40 yards that went in the upper tier in the north stand, and that was really about it, wasn't it, until Wickham scored.
Which is another good performance from him and another well-taken goal.
Yeah, it was, because it was sort of from nothing, wasn't it? A bit of bad back pass, but he seized on it and just sort of... Because it wasn't the easiest of angles, really, because he was sort of off to the right of the goal and sort of chipped it past the keeper and in. So it was a sort of good awareness and good little finish from him. So it's all... boding well. That's unless Sunderland step in, as is sort of being rumoured at the moment.
I think that's absolutely nonsense.
I hope not.
Yeah, I can't see that happening.
I think the entire story it has it makes no sense from Sunderland's perspective. If they were really, really, really interested in him, then it would have made sense for them to try and persuade him before he signed his contract, because they could have got him for a fraction of the cost that they get him for now.
It would have been like the Bostock situation with Spurs.
It would have been a tribunal.
It would have been about a million or something for
him. Yeah, they didn't get very much at all. So it makes no sense from Town's perspective, because we've just got him to sign a contract. In a year's time, if he scores 20 goals in this division, he'll be worth significantly more, because obviously he can only sign a two-year contract at 17. Yeah. We'll presumably get him to sign another contract next March.
Mm.
And from Wickham's perspective, he's had months and months and months to decide what he's going to do with his future. He decides to put pen to paper and commit himself to Ipswich, and then, what, four weeks later...
At the time that he's starting to get in the side as well, regularly, because earlier on in the season he was sort of the odd appearance here and there, but in the last sort of 6 weeks he's really almost made a starting place his own kind of thing, hasn't he? And he's scored, what, 5 goals now, I think. So yeah, from a career perspective, I would think it's got to make sense for him to stay where he is for the time being.
And if he was thinking about going to the Premier League, why would he go to Sunderland anyway?
Yeah.
I think there's nothing in that story at all, I would guess.
No, I think we've got some lone players and, you know, as people put it.
Yeah, I think it seems to be a good working relationship between Keane and Steve Bruce, doesn't there? In terms of, like, he's let us have loans.
Yeah, I think they're good mates. I think
they used to play together, didn't they, at United? So one of the few people Keane didn't fall out with in his time at United, by the sound of it.
But I mean, you know, it's just, as you say, it's one of the things someone putting two and two together. But I think also it's the initial story, which was in one of the North East papers, it didn't seem to realise that the speculation regarding Wickham was all to do with would he sign his contract, wouldn't he? They mentioned Arsenal, I think, in the story.
Oh, I see.
And all that really, once he signed his contract, it was done.
That
really
was over with, yeah.
But now this sort of Sunderland story has kind of crept from one newspaper to another. Mm. But I really don't see anything in it at all.
I mean, I suppose it depends on how concrete the interest was from the Big Four, whether they were just rumoured to be looking at him or whether there has been serious, you know, representation at games with scouts and stuff. Because like you say, if he was going to leave, presumably, you know, I mean, what's the situation in the family? Yeah, we've looked after the lad, so let's get him to sign a deal and we'll get, you know, 6-7 million or whatever for him, rather than him, you know, going for a tribunal. Even if that was, you know, the angle when he was going to be off in the summer, surely he would go to one of the bigger clubs, like you say. And, you know, even if we loan him back next season, because he's not going to be challenging the likes of Bent and, you know, presumably with all the money Sunderland have got as well, they're going to be looking to bring in quality players, aren't they?
Yeah.
They don't strike me as they're not as a Burnley or a Hull or anybody like that. They're not one of the Big Four. They're the sort of team in the middle that are going to be looking to get, you know, probably a Europa League place next year by going out and buying, you know, sort of 10, 15 million strikers from, you know, German clubs, Italian clubs, and, you know, that sort of thing.
I agree entirely. Yeah. I don't think there's anything in it. There certainly was interest from a number of Premier League clubs in Wickham. Tottenham and Fulham apparently were two of the bigger players who were, or two of the clubs that showed
Villa, were they interested as well?
Villa was supposed to be some while ago they won it. But I mean, I remember some friends of mine telling me that go to a lot of the academy games, that 2 years ago when he was first breaking into the academy side, there were scouts there, and you talked to the scouts apparently, and they were saying it was Wickham they'd come to look at when he was only 15. So they've clearly been looking at him for a very long time.
Who's Curvesley been looking at then, do you reckon, over the last few weeks?
Well, he hasn't been at a game, as far as I'm aware, since Wickham has signed the contract.
Right.
I was told that he was working for Spurs, that Mervyn Day was working for, I forget who now, Fulham. That's right. I don't know, I think that one is perhaps, it may well have been a story where people were putting two and two and coming up with five.
Well, you have to hope so, don't we?
But there we go. I don't think there's anything in the Sunderland story to reiterate.
Good.
anything on the wire? Greg?
Well, there is actually one just on that very point, Bilbo Blue. If Keane sells Wickham as he did Rhodes, then I can seriously consider giving up my season ticket till the man has either walked or been sacked. There you go. Well, I think a lot of people feel like that.
I don't think there's anything in it.
No, well, let's hope not. Let's hope not. Do you want to talk to Asa about his song first?
Yeah, we should have done the song so much.
There's nothing much to talk about now.
Go on, then tell us about your song. You wrote it initially about a year ago, didn't you? It was Fab's idea.
I was asked to play one of the sports club's events in Haverhill for Fab. And then a couple of days afterwards, he contacted me to say that, you know, he wanted me to write a song for the club because he'd been inspired by a lot of other teams, you know, saying that every ground they played at, they seemed to run out to some sort of anthem, or, you know, whether it's Wolves with a lot of sort of hi-ho silver lining or whatever. And, you know, it was the case that we didn't really have anything. I think he was under the impression that Singing the Blues was about 40 years old. And, you know, he just he thought, well, what can I do? You know, he's obviously got a lot of affection for the club, and he wanted to try and give something back. So his idea was, well, if we can get somebody to write a new club song and the club adopt it, and, you know, all the money goes to the club, the community trust, you know, that can be his kind of legacy and something to leave behind to the club. So that was where the idea came about. And then, you know, I sat down and tried to write something, you know, along the lines of, you know, what were we going to do with a, you know, a song that the club might potentially adopt if all went well.
So you sat down and wrote it, and I can remember talking to you last time, and you were sort of trying to come up with try and include as many names of players as you could, and I think how many did you get in?
I think someone said 28. I've never counted, but somebody said 28 the other day. But obviously, when I wrote it, I always had the video in mind, which is obviously just gone on YouTube, as a lot of people know. So that was how I kind of saw it in my head. So, you know, I think the more, you know, with the start of it, the more you just go on and try and make it about the club without mentioning players and achievements, it tends to become a little bit cheesy. There's only so much you can say. So I just thought, you know, just get as many players in there as possible. You know, the idea was always to have the commentary in there and just try and remind people, really, you know, especially this season. I thought last season as well, under Magilton, you kind of had these spells where you kind of wake up on a Saturday morning and you're not as excited as you have been in past seasons. And then, you know, it'd be like I'd whack the DVD on or something, you know, Boys of 81 or something, and all of a sudden you realise what a great team we had and why you actually support the club in the first place. And then it's amazing how enthusiastic you can be about going to watch, you know, a 14th place team playing a 21st place team, you know, with two games to go and, you know, there's nothing really to play for. But then, you know, that's why we love the club at the end of the day. So I just tried to get as much of that in there as I could, and, you know, hopefully people can listen to it and then see the video and be reminded of that.
And the video has taken you most of your life.
Yeah, 75 hours to get the video to go live. Then, as it was supposed to go live, there were some issues with the software. There was two clips. Finidi George, ironically, decided that
he's always troubled that
point, I know, decided that his clip wasn't going to work, and then Alan Hunter started giving me problems as well.
So that experience Bobby Robson can probably experience as well.
So yeah, so the low res version went live on YouTube, and then I managed to find out that it was only the first half of the video that had problems, which is why the second half of the video made it on in high res. And I'm still trying to work on the high res version of the full song, so it's probably up to about 90 hours now, but I'm nearly there. Until somebody else comes out of the woodwork.
Labour of love.
So if anyone hasn't heard it, because it's been posted a couple of times in the message board, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where can they find it?
It's on YouTube, either YouTube/AcesJennings, or if you just search under Let's Go to Town, Ipswich Town, along those lines, you'll get there. But either my name or the song title.
And you're hoping that Town will use it in a more regular capacity?
Yeah, they played on Saturday. They played it a couple of times last year, just before. I mean, they started playing it just before Bobby Robson died, just before kickoff, and it started to build up a bit of momentum then. And then, as everybody knows, they replaced it with sort of My Way, played that for a few games afterwards, you know, and that was it. They then tried sort of various other things and stuff. So ever since the video's gone on, that's obviously enabled me to, you know, with the amount of people that go onto YouTube to watch Ipswich clips and stuff like that. I mean, that's had, I think, 3,000 plays in the first week across the two videos. So, you know, all of a sudden people are now watching the video, listening to the song. That's kind of built up as well into sort of Facebook groups trying to get it to be the new anthem and, you know, this, that and the other. So the club are aware of it, and, you know, I think they're very much of the opinion that if there's enough support there for it, then of course they'll consider it. But I think probably because of the discussions a few years ago over, I think it was Tom Hark and then the Fratellis, and then it was Fiesta or something as well, wasn't it, mentioned by the Pogues. And it seemed everybody seemed to have a different idea, and I think the club doesn't want to just sort of force something upon people. If there's enough support for it, then they'll consider it, and obviously if there's overwhelming support, then they'll do it. But it's very much, you know, we go to them and say this is what we want, rather than that, you know, them playing something and telling us what we're going to have.
Which I think is the right way. I don't think
absolutely,
it doesn't work. None of these things ever work very well when clubs impose things on people. It's better when things rise from the terraces. And so if you haven't heard Ace's thing, it's YouTube/AcesJennings, and there's Facebook groups, which presumably you can find on Facebook.
If you just put Let's Go to Town in Facebook, then that comes up with the group, I think, at the top of the page, which is something like 300 odd members now already in the, you know, the first week. There seems to be decent support for it. It's just, you know, getting the message out there. If people don't like it, fair enough, but if they do, then obviously get behind it and back it, and, you know, the club hopefully will consider it.
There you go. So if you are a fan of Aces tune, then you know what to do.
Well, it's certainly different to all the others, isn't it? I mean, if everyone else has the Fratellis, and we're not going to be any different to them, are we? So,
well, I think
it's nice to have our own tune, I think.
That's exactly. I think it's important for clubs to have their own identity. Mm. I mean, I read something once a few years ago. Simon Inglis was writing and saying that if you're in a football ground now, you close your eyes and you could be anywhere because the experience has been so kind of.
Diluted
everywhere you go, the same tunes and all that kind
of
thing.
A lot of the stadiums, you can have your eyes open and you could be anywhere.
Well, new sort of bowl.
I mean, he was saying not just football, but you could be in America watching an American sport as well, because the whole sporting experience has been kind of everywhere has taken on ideas from itself. So it's important for clubs to have their own individual, like Zedcars at Everton and things like that.
Yeah, no, that's excellent, isn't it? Zedcars, I like that tune.
It's good, isn't it? You know where you are, don't you?
And for those watching in black and white, Jeremy's got a retro shirt on to celebrate the occasion. Is that the 81
indeed.
Or the
78?
78 one.
Yeah, or replica. Or
looks very Eric Gates like, doesn't he?
With his 70s hair.
Long
red hair.
So, have we got anything else on the email?
Right, Chris Round. Who do you think Town's player of the season ought to be? There's no outstanding candidates, I'm sure we all agree, especially on a season long basis. However, I'm seriously considering, I think I said this to you last week because I wasn't here. But you didn't read it out, though, did you?
Yeah.
Did you?
I think Vulture read it out.
Oh, did he? Well, ignore that then. I thought I listened to it last week, but I had had a bit to drink. Yeah.
Who do you boys have down as your player of the year?
Gareth McCauley, do you think? Or maybe Damien Delaney, from the point of view of sort of how badly his Town career started. He was sort of on the left, wasn't doing very well, people were kind of against him, and then moved in field, and hasn't really put a foot wrong since then. So, one of those two, I would say. Or I did read earlier in the week that Colback was the player's player of the year.
So I think he could become a fans player as well, don't you?
Yeah, Colback. It's just a bit of a shame to have a loanee as the player of the year, isn't it?
Pretty much sums up everything.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose. But yeah, that one of those two, one of the centre backs, would get my vote, because this is probably defensively as good as we've looked in a few seasons, from my point of view, as far as I'm concerned. So the back four's been pretty good, so I'd look at one of those two for me.
Hey, sir?
I'd have to agree with that. I mean, Ledbetter, I think, was miles out in front, wasn't he, earlier in the season, probably up till Christmas. I don't think there was anybody that could have come close to him, so he seemed to be the only person that was consistently performing. But yeah, I totally agree that, you know, I think from McCauley and Delaney, again, you know, possibly Delaney had so much abuse when he was playing left back, but then, you know, to be fair to McCauley, he had a lot of people knocking him as well, didn't he? And he started waning with goals lately as well, so I'd probably just go for Delaney ahead of McCauley, but I don't think there's a lot to choose between the two of them.
I think McCauley. I said something similar in the paper the other week and said McCauley probably, because he's got five goals, I think, now, which is, you know, we've needed that from centre half, because I don't think we've had a centre half who scored that many. And Richard Naylor started scoring fewer goals when he was at centre half. He started off scoring more goals at centre half than he was up front, and then went about 4 years without scoring at all.
Yeah.
I don't think DeVos scored enough goals for his height, because
it's good in the air,
and his aerial presence.
Yeah.
So it's been good to have someone scoring goals from centre half.
If he's got five, that puts him two off the. If he gets three in the remaining two games, which is obviously very unlikely, he could be top goal scorer.
Wickham's got five as well.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Thompson Trophy.
Oh,
there, so.
Yeah, there's five. He got five that season, and he was top scorer. Another season where we got hardly anyone scoring, wasn't there? Was it Jim's first season when we had. Yeah. Nicky Forster was sort of top scorer on six or something like that then as well, I think. So
quite possibly, yeah.
Anything else, Graham?
Steve Brendish. I've recently returned from seeing Town play for the first time in 5 years. I live in Australia now and feel extremely underwhelmed by the team, the atmosphere and the tactics, don't we all? I managed to squeeze in three games in 12 days, Sheffield Wednesday away, Scunny away and Bristol City at home, and we look good in parts but mostly toothless. I now hear that Keane is expecting a lot of coming and going over the summer. Surely the idea was to bed the players in during season one and then push on in season two. If Marcus has had enough at the end of the season, who does the panel think will replace him? O'Driscoll, Kerbs, etc.
Well, it doesn't look like he's going to go.
No, I think it's looking more certain that he's going to stay than it has done for a while, because there's obviously major grumblings and all the rumours about Kerbishley and all this. But in the last... Those two wins were where we won Derby away and the one before, I forget what it was. Those two, Reading at home, wasn't it? That kind of made us safe. Seems like all the talk has been about kind of looking to next season and stuff. I mean, obviously you don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but I would be very surprised if he goes in the summer now, to be honest.
Well, he's talking about budgets only today, wasn't he? And, you know, meeting up with Evans and Clegg and discussing budgets and stuff. And I think probably we learnt from last season as well with the way Majilton went, that if they were going to get rid of him, I don't think they'd choose, you know, the pre-season to do so. I think he'd have gone, you know, three or four games before, you know, possibly when we were mathematically safe, you know, maybe this week, last week, or, you know, around about that time, to give whoever was coming in, like I said, the time to assess what players we got out of contract, you know, who's going to, the loan players, are they going to stay, are they going to go? I don't think it makes any sense to get rid of him now if that's what they were planning to do. And, you know, bar, you know, a couple of horrendous results and we end up finishing 18th or 19th, which I think we're more likely to do now, aren't we, than finish sort of 11th or 12th. Because I think there's a lot of teams that are only, you know, 3 or 4 points behind us now, aren't there?
Yeah, very, very tight, as always.
But, you know, is that really, you know, over the course of two games where we might have some youngsters coming in, like Billy Clark and, you know, people like that, Tom Eastman, you know, if we do have two bad results, you know, maybe lose Saturday or draw at home or something and we do slip down today, is it really going to make any difference to,
no,
you know, to the club? I can't see it doing so, so I can't see any way that they'll go now.
No, I can't. And also, the fact that Simon Clegg came out so positively backing Roy Keane when the stories appeared sort of around the Swansea match when they were suggesting he was going to go, I was quite surprised at how strongly he backed him. He could have just said, you know, there's nothing to these stories, but he was much more positive than that, wasn't he?
It was like he's only just starting out, you know, he's only just getting the team how he wants it, you know. So
what do you think then? I mean, Roy said on Friday at the press conference that 4 to 5 men, as he put it, real men, what do you and that there'll be players leaving, which I think most of us guessed there'd be a significant number on the way, because there's one or two that are fairly clear aren't in the plans. Alan Quinn's been out of the boat for a long while. Pablo, he
looks increasingly out of it, doesn't he? Yeah.
Garvin's been in and out.
Garvin I thought was nailed on, but then he came on as a sub the other day, so I was kind of sat there hoping, hopefully he's really good, and then
we'll that turn will turn it round.
Because I would love him to stay, I really would, but
yeah.
I don't. Yeah, but it's just. He didn't do anything major when he came on, but it's difficult coming on for the last half hour. But, yeah, Garvin, I'd like to think he'll stick with him for at least another year, but, you know, he looks like one of the sort of ones that could go. The problem is the ones that you'd like to see go are a lot of the ones he signed, but because they were signed on big money, they've had poor seasons, we're not going to be able to shift them now, really, are we?
This is the Lee Martins of the
Lee Martin, Tamás Prisson. Carlos Edwards I would probably persevere with, even though he's not had the best.
Where's Healy gone? Season. Where's Healy, Phil?
Colin Healy.
Colin Healy, he's at Falkirk.
Do you reckon he'll go? Because he was a free, wasn't he, Colin?
He's got another year left. I mean, if Falkirk want him, I suspect that we'd probably let him go there. But
I mean, he was a minimal risk, haven't heard much of him
since he went away.
I mean, I imagine he's on fairly low wages, and he didn't cost a whole lot.
He's from the Irish leagues, wasn't
he? Well, he almost went to Hartlepool, didn't he? Before, so I mean, if he was talking to a league, you know, they're not even a big league one club, are they? They're, you know, one of the teams you're going to expect to be in the bottom half. You know, I can't imagine his salary demands were that much.
No, I mean, Keane likes him. He said that he's talking about the other day and saying that he perhaps hadn't given him enough of a chance when he was here, but he sent him to Falkirk because the offer was there and he was going to get games and he wasn't in his first team, so maybe he'll come back for pre-season, have a look at him. But I mean, there's certainly a lot of players.
What about Rossini? Is another one, I've forgotten about him almost.
Yeah. Well, he seems to be out of the plans at the moment.
He's on loan at the end of the season, so that looks unlikely to be.
I find that very strange, because most of the games he played really well. He had a shocker at Watford, but everyone's entitled to one. But he's just been left out completely.
Yeah, I'm surprised that he has kind of disappeared quite so.
That was a bit of a strange area, though, wasn't it, the full-backs? Because that was the only area of the team where we'd have two full-backs in that played really well one game, and then all of a sudden they were both dropped, and you know, you'd have Peters in up against somebody like McEnough or somebody like that for pace, you know.
Yeah.
You know, or we'd have somebody else in for height instead of. And it just seemed to be that, you know, the full-backs seemed to be chopped and changed regardless. Well,
this goes back to what you were saying the other week, wasn't it, Phil? That he seems to be countering other people rather than getting on with it.
I think he does kind of look at the opposition and tailor his fullbacks especially to that, which I think is quite unusual to be quite that analytical, I suppose. He's sort of very concerned with.
So I think that week you discussed that someone, it was you or one of the other guests, I can't remember, said like to see it that we impose ourselves and say this is Ipswich Town, this is, you know, this is us, be us, rather than we're so worried about you we're going to have to change, because it can't sort of be good to constantly week to week change the team, can it? It's like Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
I think that's the thing overall, really. We need to impose ourselves on games more. I don't think that's just this season. I think last season, I can't remember many games, I said this probably last week, I can't remember many games this season or last season where we've absolutely dominated. In the winter with Jim Majilton in the centre midfield, where he was running the show, we've never had a game, maybe the odd game like that, maybe the Watford game, but not over a significant number of games. We don't look massively convincing, do we?
The strange thing was we got quite a few early goals, didn't we, at home, especially in the earlier part of the season.
It's amazing.
The ones where we best at home that I probably were Blackpool and QPR to my mind around sort of Christmas time.
I mean, Cardiff wasn't bad either, was it? They weren't brilliant, were they, Cardiff that night? But
And Bristol City, have we got a goal in that game? It looked like one of those where you got one and you got four.
Well, it was Gherkin, wasn't it? He made about 15.
That wonder performance.
So there have been positives, I suppose, but we still don't look like a side that is going to be like George Burley's side, where opposition teams come to Portman Road knowing that they're not going to be able to out-football us. The fact that Doncaster came to Ipswich and we reacted to their style does show where we are and that there's a hell of a long way to go, which I think the manager has said a number of occasions. Have we got anything else?
I think he'd be a good manager, to have down here as well, I think. But we said this last year, right? Absolutely. That's the one bit I did remember from last week.
Nicknames.
Noisy.
Mm.
Why?
He's so quiet.
Bless. Well, that's what we could do with, I think. Yes. This is from Bluefish. You must know him, Phil.
Vaguely.
Can you sing us a cheeky girl song? All this talking's dull. You know nothing about football. He's quite right, you're actually very correct there.
Go on then.
Oh, sorry, Phil. Thanks everyone for listening. We're going to finish with Ace's song, in full hopefully, unless they turn it off again or I play it twice. Thanks to Jeremy, thanks of course to Ace, and thanks to Phil. Until next week, do have a good one, and let's go to town. Before I say that, let's go to town, Ace Jennings, if you Google any of that. They should come together nicely, shouldn't they?
And you can buy it in the club shop.
Yes, in the club shop. As I said earlier, all the money goes to the community trust, which is obviously something that Fab wanted to do. So, I think it's in the club shop at the moment, Planet Blue, if anyone wants a copy.
Okay, excellent. Apologies to Roland Foster. We may read yours out next week, but I know you, so maybe we won't. right, let's go to town.